to talk about ants as bioindicators, we asked the question, does habitat edge affect community or social structure of north temperate deciduous forest ants? This is work that I did with four undergraduate students at St. Michael's College in Vermont. Habitat fragmentation is one of the leading threats to biodiversity and ecosystem function. And Vermont, like much of the Northeast, a great deal of the forest is in private hands. I think 76% of the Northeastern forest in the United States is privately owned, so habitat fragmentation is a big deal. Fragmentation leads to smaller size patches, which is problematic for species diversity, and it also leads to edge effects. So you have more habitat exposed to disturbances, including variable climate, human activity, introduced and invasive species. So these disturbed edges of forests may support a different mix of species than the interior of the same forests. What about ants, though? Are ants susceptible to edge effects? Ants have been championed as bioindicators because they may be sensitive to disturbance, and if they are, they would be extremely useful to work with because they're found in every terrestrial ecosystem you can think of. They do very important jobs in these systems, recycling nutrients, dispersing seeds, and aerating soil. They're relatively easy to sense, especially compared to most animals. So standard monitoring practices for ant species have been developed, and some communities of ants have shown sensitivity to disturbance and sensitivity that mirrors the patterns of other species in the communities. In Australia, there has been particular success using ants as bioindicators. Much less work on this has been done in the United States, however. So for ants to be useful as bioindicator species, they do have to be sensitive to disturbance. Are they sensitive to habitat fragmentation and edge effects? Well, if they are, what might we expect? You could see a change in the community structure. Ant species diversity might change. In an edge habitat, you might expect diversity to actually initially be higher in a disturbed area because of the increased microhabitats available to the ants. But as you have specialist ants competing with generalist species, diversity may be lost. If you have invasive pest ant species, that can accelerate the loss of ant species diversity in edge or disturbed habitats. Now, in Vermont forests, we don't really have any invasive pest ant species at the moment, but in nearby Maine, they have a problem with the so-called European fire ant, Myrmica rubra. That may be a possibility for Vermont's future. So in addition to community-level changes in response to disturbance, you could also have changes within particular species. Social structure might change in response to changes in resource availability. For a particular species, Joan Herbers and myself and others have worked with the effects of food availability and nest site availability on social structure and shown that ants do respond to those sorts of changes. If the species is very common in the system and its social structure changes, this could be very important to the community overall. So the students and I worked at the Mills Riverside Park in Jericho, Vermont, which is in the foothills of the Green Mountains. The park is actually a mixed-use conservation area consisting of open fields and forest in the foothills there. We did surveys in the fields, and that produced a great number of ants and ant species. Today I'm going to talk about our work in the forest, which was a little simpler in terms of what we found. In the forest, we censused three habitats, a mixed wood dominated by red maple, sugar maple dominated stand, and a northern hardwood stand. We did pitfall trapping And actually, the slide doesn't reflect the fact that we did this for two summers and five dates, a large number of traps. We also excavated litter plots. Some ant species are not dumb enough to fall into pitfall traps, so you need multiple methods to get a good census of everybody who's out there. So for litter pot sampling, we would mark off quadrats on the forest floor and basically work our way through picking through the litter and finding all the nests that were in preformed cavities like sticks, nuts, and curled up leaves, as well as nests that were in the soil when we got down to bare earth. So we did compare the edge versus the interior in each of the three forest types that we worked at. We defined edge as, according to the literature, within 30 meters of a habitat boundary, and our interior sites were all approximately 100 meters from the edge of any of these habitats. So this slide summarizes our findings with respect to the richness and abundance. Well, it's Vermont, 44 degrees north latitude. There's not a lot of ant species in the forest. We got a total of 10 species. As I mentioned before, if I included the old field data, the richness would go up dramatically. But this focuses on the forest. Pitfall traps captured 9 species. The litter plot sampling captured those same species plus an additional species. And on this slide, you can see the relative abundance and the frequency in the pitfalls and the litter plots for interior and edge. The species that are in bold were present in at least 20% of the plots or pitfall samples. So they were the major players, and it's the usual suspects here. We did have verification of our species IDs by Stefan Culver at the Museum of Comparative Zoology. We needed his help in particular for the ants in the old field, but this list is the usual set of players in Vermont forests. And Aphenogaster rudi looms large as being ubiquitous, the ecologically dominant ant of these forests. I should say, if you're familiar with Aphenogaster rudi, it is actually part of a complex, the Aphenogaster fulva rudi taxana complex. And if you're really into Aphenogaster rudi trivia, we probably have the N18 form of this complex. So you can look at that site and see, okay, there's a set of species that are present, but were there differences between the edge and interior? That was our question. Is there any effects of the habitat fragmentation and the disturbance on the ant community? In order to assess that, we did a rarefaction analysis, basically to look at the number of species you'd expect given a randomly sampled number of individuals in each of the habitats. We did this computer simulation using EcoSim software developed by Nick Gotelli and Ensminger. And what you can see here are the expected number of species given a number of individuals for each site via this simulation. The edge and interior don't differ. Those two curves lie very close together. The confidence intervals are generated from the edge data, and you can see that the interior curve falls right within those 95% confidence intervals. So there's no significant difference in the ant communities for the edge and interior sites. So, were there any differences at all? I suggested there might be two ways in which ants could respond to disturbance. The community structure might be different, or social structure might be different. Well, for our key player, Aphenogaster rudi, we had one tantalizing difference. Not entirely sure what to make of it. We will be collecting more A. rudi in this habitat, but I've collected A. rudi in many places in Vermont and not seen this sort of difference before. Aphenogaster rudi has the classic social insect colony structure with a single queen thought to be mated one time. When we collected Aphenogaster rudi colonies via the litter plot excavation in the edge and interior sites, we found that most of the interior nests that we collected were queenless, whereas most of the edge nests that we collected were queen-right, and this was a statistically significant difference. Now, you might say, well, are you collecting nests? Are you collecting colonies? Are you sure you're getting everybody? We were sure that we were getting everybody. We were collecting down to bare soil. So I'm not so concerned about that. We tried to do aggression tests, but it is known, and we basically just verified this, you cannot get a Phenagaster ruti to fight with each other. So what's really needed here is molecular level work. So just to sum up here, the ant species composition and abundance were not substantially different in the edge and interior forest habitats we sampled. Aggression tests and sampling of demography suggest habitat fragmentation may have some effect on the social structure, perhaps via reproductive allocation being different in the edge and interior sites for A. ruti. A. ruti is so abundant and ecologically dominant, if there is an effect of disturbance on its social structure, that could be very important for the ant community and the invertebrate community overall. I do want to acknowledge the Vermont Genetics Network for funding this work, grants to myself and three of the students that I worked with. Thank you. Yes. The temnothorax species that we found was strictly in the leaf litter in sticks and acorns.
And did you see what the nest was comprised of, or was it
really freely
in it?
Well, for temnothorax longispinosus, they're typically contained within hollow sections of sticks or in acorns. We actually collected many of the temno nests that we found and brought them back to the lab and did work with them. There was a suggestive difference in queen number for them in the two habitat types as well, but it wasn't statistically significant.